I love baptisms. They're my favorite day in the church year is when we have baptisms. How about you? I mean, it's when we declare Jesus Christ is our living hope. He is our victory. And in every story, every testimony is a story of the power of Jesus Christ to change lives. And that's what it's all about. And that's why we're here and nothing less. And the more we pursue our mission to touch and transform our communities by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion, the more regularly this baptism will be used and the more frequently we'll be celebrating. Isn't that what we want to do? Be celebrating baptisms again and again and again and again. Because Jesus Christ is changing our lives and the lives of people here in this church. Not only is baptism my favorite day, but when baptisms are around Thanksgiving, like this year, that is my absolute favorite time. Because baptisms at Thanksgiving remind me that I am thankful for the same thing that these men and women being baptized today for. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ has the answer to my deepest problem. My deepest problem is I'm not good enough. I mean, I'm not. I've never been good enough. I never will be good enough. I gave up on that. I continually let down my wife, disappoint my children, my grandchildren. I disappoint myself. And if I'm not good enough, as good as I think I should be, I'm sure not as good as God thinks I should be. I'm just not good enough. And I have the scars to show for it. How about you? Do any of you have the scars of just not being good enough? The scars of the time your parents shouted at you, would you grow up and act your age? Stop whining and complaining. Why don't you get better grades? Why don't you work harder? The scars from the times that other children taunted you because you didn't wear the right clothes or have the right friends or know the right answer or make the right play in the sport. And the things they said were so hurtful, they seared into your soul. And even today, decades later, when you remember that experience, your whole body flinches with the pain of knowing that you're not good enough. And on top of all of the things other people don't like about us, we pile on the things we don't like about ourselves. And all of our faults and all of our failures and all of our mistakes and all of our embarrassments and all of our insecurities until we're just one hot steaming pile of not good enough. And that's when the message of baptism breaks through, because our identity is not what other people say about us. Our identity is what God says about us. And God says in Jesus Christ, you are my beloved child. You are my beloved child. Our devotional is from Romans chapter 8 today. Verse 14 to 16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children. Adopted into His family, calling Him Father, dear Father. For His Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. That is your true identity. The identity that we proclaim in baptism. It's not what other people said about you. It's not what other people thought about you. It's not all those negative thoughts that you have stored up in your memory. Your identity is what God says about you. And He says through Jesus Christ, you are my beloved child. God says, you're the apple of my eye, the delight of my heart. I count the hairs on your head. I collect your tears in a bottle. I don't just put up with you and say, well, I made you, now I'm stuck with you. He says, I'm crazy about you. I want to be with you forever. And God wants to spend forever with you so badly. He would pay any price. He did pay the ultimate price so that He could call you His beloved child. Do you believe that? Are you living out that identity? Because I know in me there's this little voice that says, well, Dick, I know God loves everybody, but if God really knew how bad you are, if he really knew the junk that goes on in your mind, God couldn't love you. Have you ever heard that voice? If God knew how bad you were, God couldn't love you. And that's when God replies and says, I know your worst, and I still choose you. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them. God says, I know your worst. I know you better than you know yourself. I knew your faults before you knew your faults. I knew your failures before you failed. I know the sins that you have hidden and forgotten. I know the things you don't like about yourself. I know the lies you tell yourself. And I still choose you to be my beloved child. Do you understand what that means? The God who made you who you really are knows who you really are and still wants you to be his very own. His love called you into being, and his love calls you to himself as an imperfect and deeply flawed and selfish and sinful, but as his dear beloved child. That is your identity, your real identity in Jesus Christ. So live out that identity as God's beloved child. A fish doesn't struggle to swim. A bird doesn't struggle to fly. They live out their identity. Stop struggling to be good enough for God and live out your identity as God's beloved child. Swim in the ocean of his love. Soar in the wind of his embrace, because the more you believe his love for you, the more you trust and experience and are saturated and submersed and immersed in his love for you, the more you will live to do what's right, and the more you will live to please him, just naturally. Not to earn his love. You will live to please him because you feel so wrapped in his arms of love. He knows your worst, and he chose you anyway. Believe that and live that. And when that little voice inside your head says you're just not good enough, God says you don't need to be good enough for me. When that voice inside you says, but God, what about all my times I've sinned against you? What about all the times I've hurt other people? What can I do to make it right? And God says, there's absolutely nothing you can do to make it right, because my son Jesus Christ did everything to make it right. Romans 8, 33 to 34. Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. It doesn't say God might not condemn you if you get rid of enough of your sin. If you do enough good things to offset the bad things. If you do enough penance. If you shape up. It says God will not condemn you. There is no condemnation. Only acceptance in spite of your sin. How can God do that? Because Jesus Christ died and paid the penalty for your sin and came back to life to forgive you and make you right with God. Our job is to admit we're not good enough and we will never be good enough. And having admitted that, to accept the payment for our sins by accepting Jesus Christ, who made the payment to make us right with God. Our problem is, that's too simple. We know we're not good enough and we want to get good enough. We want to fix ourselves, so we struggle and we strive to get better, to please God. We work harder and harder to do good and religious things to make God happy with us, when all God is saying is stop. Relax. and believe the good news that you are loved. That there is no condemnation, that you are accepted, not because you're good enough, but because what Jesus Christ did on the cross, his blood washed your sins away. When we say, God, I'm not good enough, he says, I know you're not good enough. But Jesus Christ is good enough. And I accept you when you accept Jesus Christ. And that's what makes baptism such a beautiful picture of what we're talking about today. Because baptism does not make you right with God. Baptism declares that Jesus Christ made you right with God. And when you go down under the water, you're saying, I know I am not good enough. I need Jesus Christ to pay the punishment for my sins and wash me from my sins. And when you come back up, you say, having been forgiven of my sins by Jesus Christ, I now want to live for Christ. I want to live out my new identity. I want to live as his beloved child, and I want to live to please him. And that's what makes baptism so exciting. Now, the people that are being baptized this morning, you think they'll ever sin again? How about it, parents? You think they'll ever sin again? Maybe. Yes, they will. Absolutely and repeatedly, just like we do. And just like us, there will be times when they and we sin so badly or so often, we are so angry at ourselves, we're sure God must be angry at us. And that's when God says, nothing you do can make me love you less. Nothing you do can make me love you less. We think when we sin that God is so disappointed with us, maybe angry with us, that he pulls away a little bit and we lose a little bit of his love and maybe we're going to get punished. So God says, no, no punishment, only forgiveness. And it's not the forgiveness like a judicial forgiveness where the judge says, okay, I'm not going to punish you. Now get out of here before I change my mind. It's the forgiveness of a loving father that wants to wrap you in his arms of unconditional, unearned, unlimited, unending, undeserved love. Romans 8:38 and 39. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above in the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. 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 He says, nothing you do can make me love you less. You can break my heart, but you can't make me stop loving you. The thing that breaks God's heart more than our sin is that after we've sinned, we run away and hide rather than running to his arms like a little beloved child, trusting the parent to forgive them and to love them. You and I will fail. We will fall into sin repeatedly and grievously, and there's times when we will despair. But God does not despair. He knows your worst and he still chose you. God does not despair because he knows that when you fall, that does not need to keep you away from him. That just reminds you how badly you need him so that you will rush to him and want to live closer to him and stay by his side. God knows that when you fall into sin, that does not keep you from his love. That gives him another chance to show you that his love will never run out and it will never give up on you. He knows your worst and he chose you. And nothing can make him love you less. Nothing. When you have embraced Jesus Christ, God embraces you. Believe that. Live out your identity as God's beloved so that his love fills you and flows through you to touch and transform our communities by the power of Jesus Christ through lives of full devotion. And then one day, in his home, surrounded by his family, your sins far behind you, embraced by the Lord, saints will point at you and say, look, she's God's beloved daughter. Look, there's God's beloved son. And angels will applaud. And God will look you in the eye and say, I'm so glad that you are mine. Live out your identity. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord, for a love that we do not deserve, that we cannot earn, and beyond our wildest hopes, we cannot lose, we praise you and thank you. Lord, empower those today who have trusted you to live out our identity as your beloved child. For anyone here today who has not stepped into your kingdom, may they want to make that decision today so they can cross the waters of baptism and then they can join us and say, I am a child of God. Not because I'm good enough, but only because the blood of Jesus Christ, nothing but the blood, can make me right with God. Amen.